Rava Jaya Kunja Bihari. Kopi Dana Balaba Grivardari Jaya Grivardari Balaba Grivardari Jaya Grivardari Sodanandana Raja Dhanaranjana Jaya Raja Dhanaranjana Sodanandana Raja Dhanaranjana Jaya Raja Dhanaranjana Yamuna Dhiravarachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Yamuna Dhiravarachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Brahmahang Superbhidakasharya Asadhara Sudushi Sriman His Divine Grace, Shalesi, Bhaktivedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Vah, Glories to the Sound Devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasvatundeve, Gauravani Vracharane, Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Sitarne. Om Agyana Tivarandasya, Gyananjana Salakaya, Chaksur Umilitam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam Yena Bhutle, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Tadati Swapadantikam, Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganatam, Vitam Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Vrijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shiva Sakans Vitam Scha, Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dinabando Dagatpate, Kopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kanchena Gorangi, Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari, Prishubhanu Sudadevi, Pranamami Hari Priye, Vanchakapa Trubhyascha, Kripa Sinubhyevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda, Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 71, The Lord Travels to Indraprastha, Text 14. Tato Rata Deepa Bhata Sadi Nayakai. Karalaya Parivrita Atma Senaya. Ridanga Bear Yanaka Shankago Makai Pragosha Go Sita Kakubo Nirakramat Tatorata Deepa Batasadi Nayakai Karalaya Parivrita Atma Senaya Ridanga Biryanaka Shankagomakai Pragosha Goshita Kakubo Nirkramat Tathorata Deepa Bhata Sadinakai Karalaya Parivrita Atma Senaya Ridanga Biryanaka Shankago Makai Pragosha Goshita Kakuba Niramakamat Dorata Rupa Bhatta Sadinayakai Ridanga Viryanaka Shanka Gomakai Pragosha Goshita Kakuba Mirakramat. Ladies, Hariya Rimipa Atmasainaya Ridanga Biryanaka Shanka Gomakai Pragosha Goshita Kakubo Nirakamat. Tata, then, Rata of his chariots, Dvipa, elephants, Bata, infantry, Sadi, and cavalry, Nayakanai, with leaders, Karalaya, fearsome, Parivritta, surrounded, Atma, personnel, Senaya, by his army, Ridanga, by Ridanga drums, Beri horns, Anaka, kettle drums, Shanka, conch shells, Gomukai, and Gomukha horns, Pragosha, by the resounding, Goshita, filled with vibrations, Kakuba, all directions, Nirakramat, he went out. Translation. All the vibrations resounding from mridangas, berries, kettle drums, conch shells, and gomukhas filled the sky in all directions. Lord Krishna set out on his journey. He was accompanied by his chief officers of his corps of chariots, elephants, infantry, and cavalry, and surrounded on all sides by his fierce personal guard. We continue reading. Lord Achyuta's faithful wives, along with their children, followed the Lord on golden palanquins carried by powerful men. The queens were adorned with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant oils, and flower garlands. And they were surrounded on all sides by soldiers carrying swords and shields in their hands. Prabhu, according to Sridhar Swami, the word Vaji indicates that some of the Lord's queens were transported by horse-drawn conveyances. On all sides proceeded finely adorned women, attendants of the royal household, as well as courtesans. They rode on palanquins and camels, bulls and buffalo, donkeys, mules, bullock carts, and elephants. Their conveyances were fully loaded with grass tents, blankets, clothing, and other items for the trip. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the household attendants mentioned here included washerwomen and other helpers. Translation, text 17. The Lord's army boasted royal elephant, royal umbrellas, charmera fans, and huge flagpoles with waving banners. During the day, the sun's rays reflected brightly from the soldiers' fine weapons, jewelry, helmets, and armor. Thus, Lord Krishna's army, noisy with shouts and clatter, appeared like an ocean surrounded with agitated waves and timangala fish. honored by Sri Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, Narada bowed down. Narada Muni bowed down to the Lord. All of Narada's senses were satisfied by his meeting with Lord Krishna. As having heard the decision of the Lord and having been worshipped by him, Narada placed him firmly within his heart and departed through the sky. With pleasing words, the Lord addressed the messenger sent for the kings. My dear messenger, I wish all good fortune to you. I shall arrange for the killing of the king. Magadha, do not fear. Purport. The word ma, baishta, do not fear, is in the plural, being intended for both the messenger and the kings. Similarly, the expression bhadram va, blessings unto you, is also in the plural, expressing a similar attempt. Thus addressed, the messenger departed and accurately relayed the Lord's message to the kings. Eager for freedom, they then waited expectantly for their meeting with Lord Krishna. Purport, the great Vaishnava scholar Srila Jiva Goswami comments here that by force of circumstances, the kings began focusing their attention on Lord Krishna alone. He traveled through the provinces of Anartha, Salvirya, Marudesha, and Vinashana. Lord Hari crossed rivers and passed mountains, cities, villages, cow pastures, and quarries. After crossing the rivers Drishadvati and Saraswati, he passed through Panchala and Matsya and finally came to Indraprastha. King Yudhisthira was delighted to hear that the Lord, whom human beings rarely see, had now arrived. Accompanied by his priests and dear associates, the king came out to meet Lord Krishna. As songs and musical instruments resounded along with the sound, loud vibration of Vedic hymns, the kings went forth with great reverence to meet Lord Hrishikesha, just as the senses go forth to meet the consciousness of life. Purport, Lord Krishna is here described as Hrishikesha, the Lord of the senses, and King Yudhisthira's rushing to the Lord is compared to the senses, eagerly joining the consciousness of life. Without consciousness, the senses are useless. Indeed, the senses function through consciousness. Similarly, when the individual souls are bereft of Krishna consciousness, love of God, they enter into a useless and illusory struggle called material existence. Pure devotees like King Yudhisthira are never bereft of the Lord's association, but they keep him always within their hearts, and yet they feel special ecstasy when they see the Lord after long separation, as described here. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Paristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. They all wait till class to begin before they leave. Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Here it mentions that material existence is a struggle. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhutak Sanatanam Manakshastran Indriyani Prakriti Stani Karshati. That the living entities in this material world are my fragmental parts, and they are all eternal, but due to a conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So material existence means a struggle. Struggle for survival, but no one survives. But the illusion is that somehow or another, by our intelligence and association of good fortune, somehow or another we might be able to win this particular struggle. So that's called illusion. Although we've been going through the struggle since time immemorial, and every time we lose, still we keep on fighting on. Indeed, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, Deha Patya Akala Tradishu Atma Sanyeshva Satsupi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashanapi Napashiti. That everyone thinks that they have protection in the material world, whether it's by their body. If their body is healthy, they think they're protected. Or their family, or we can keep on extending it to our kingdom or society. As if these things will save us from death. But nothing saves us from death, because everything dies here, including all the so-called soldiers that are meant to protect us. But there is a protection, but people don't know that. Natevidu Swartikatim Vishnu. They don't know that the only real protection against illusion, because that's what we're fighting against, illusion, that we're going to die. No one is looking forward to dying. No one marks in their calendar, happy death day. This is the one thing everyone's trying to avoid. So the real struggle is against illusion, because we actually don't die. Nor does the body ever die, because the body is already dead. Something can't die that's already dead. The body was dead when we entered into it, and it's still dead. It's just a machine. It's no more alive than a car is alive. Or anything else in this, or the floor is alive. It's only due to the presence of the soul that it appears to be alive. And when the soul leaves the body, the soul doesn't die. It's still alive. And the body, which was never alive, doesn't die. It's just it's revealed that it was already dead. Just like you may drive the car, and so it may be an illusion that the car is moving down the street, but it's only moving down the street because there's a driver. But when the driver gets out, the car never doesn't move anymore. But no one starts crying, "My car is dead, my car is dead." There's no ambulance that comes and takes the car away, and finally they can't make the car alive anymore, and therefore they bury the car and say nice things about it. So similarly, in the material world, everyone's struggling to keep the body alive, but the body is not alive, so there's no sense struggling to keep something that's already dead alive. But actually what we're trying to do is struggling to stay in the body for as long as possible, so it appears to be alive. And for those who are in Krishna consciousness, there is some point in staying in the body, so that gradually we can realize that actually we're a spiritual being, different from the body, and by further development realize that what is our relation with Krishna, our particular rasa with Krishna. But as long as we think that by some material arrangement, somehow or another I'm going to become peaceful and happy in this material world, and obviously we're mistaken, because no one is peaceful and no one becomes happy in the material world. But to put all our energy into that direction means that we've actually lost the purpose of life. We've forgotten it. Or we didn't know what the purpose of life is. Not that we shouldn't maintain the body, because without maintaining the body, we can't use it for self-realization. But if we maintain the body without utilizing for self-realization, then we're simply shrama eva ki kevalam, simply wasting our time, trying to uselessly carry on material existence without any higher purpose of life. Same thing that all the animal species are struggling, and they all lose also, so if we act like the animals and simply struggle for survival, then ultimately we've just wasted the valuable human form of life. And therefore one is called a kripana, because he has a great asset called the material human form of life, but he misused it to struggle with the material nature. Daivi eshu gunamayi mama maya duratya mameva ye prapadente mayam etam duramtite. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes is very difficult to cross beyond, but those who have taken shelter in me can easily cross beyond it. Now here we have Krishna enacting his pastimes some 5,000 years ago, ultimately just to show that here in the material world that we're struggling so hard to maintain some kind of activities because we've grown attached to material existence. But it is not that if we go back to the spiritual world there are no activities. there are activities just like displayed here in Indraprastha, but those activities in the spiritual world are all eternal, and they all produce happiness and pleasure. And one is understanding exactly what one's real position is in such a situation, and exactly what to do to make oneself happy and to make everyone else happy. But in the material world, neither we actually understand who we actually are, nor have we any clue really how to make ourselves or anyone else happy, because it's simply based upon a misconception that happiness will mean to live here as long as possible and somehow or another to try to satisfy the senses. But neither we're going to live here very long, nor will the senses ever really be satisfied. Otherwise, if they were satisfied, just like we're going to take prasadam soon, so if the senses are satisfied, why do we have to take prasadam today? We already, when we came here, they had a nice feast, or Orisat Peru. So why are we taking prasadam again? Why aren't the senses satisfied? As long as we're in the material world, we'll be forced to engage in sense gratification. Even there are people, they claim that they don't eat anymore, they don't drink anymore, but they claim that they eat sunlight. So you have to eat something, at least some sunlight. Because I don't know what they do in the winter, I guess they fast in the winter, because there's no sunlight. But everyone has to eat, and then of course sleeping, and then mating and defending. So everyone's working, especially mating and defending is prominent, and defending is very prominent in Kali Yuga, where everyone is very insecure. No one knows what's going to happen to the next moment. But we know what's going to happen. Everyone's going to die pretty soon. So we know exactly what everyone's future is, even though after studying astrology, we've reached the conclusion that this world is a very temporary place. No matter how powerful and advanced and talented we are, we die anyhow. Do you know how many years in Lord Brahma's 1 second? How many of our years is Lord Brahma's 1 second in his lifetime? How many of our years? Approximately in 1 second in Brahma's life, 100,000 of our years have gone by. So that means we live for approximately 1,000th of a second of Lord Brahma's lifetime, if we live 100 years. So that's not very much. 100,000th of a second. Nothing to write to anyone about. And if we can live for 1/500th of a second, what's the advantage? How much is 1/500th of a second in our existence? We can't even imagine how insignificant it is. So similarly, our life is completely insignificant, but if we utilize it to try to advance in Krishna consciousness, to become dependent upon Krishna without becoming dependent on material circumstances, always in all circumstances, put our full faith and our full shelter in Krishna, take shelter fully in Krishna, and that's called surrender, then the result is that we'll actually gradually feel protected. We'll feel as we become free from illusion, as we're protected from illusion, and then we'll realize that we are eternal, that there is nothing to worry about, and that there is some positive engagement by engaging in Krishna's service. So I'll stop there. I have a conference call today. So are there any questions?
I'll repeat my question. Maharaj, you mentioned that in material world there is no peacefulness or happiness. Even after taking the Krishna consciousness, we don't feel that peace and happiness right away. So what should we do?
Take Krishna consciousness more seriously. That's why we don't feel peace and happiness, because we're not that serious about taking shelter of Krishna. We take shelter of Krishna a little bit, and we take shelter of many other things too. Our bank balance, our family, our physical health, our mental stability, all these things we think are going to protect us. Of course, we need these things, but we should understand that they only exist due to Krishna's mercy. So when we take fully depend upon Krishna, then gradually Krishna will reveal himself. When we accept that everything belongs to Krishna and everything is meant for Krishna's service, and then when we actually take the time and the effort to find out what Krishna wants us to do, and we do that to please him, then the result is that we'll think about Krishna, and then we'll realize who we are and how everything else actually is. Until then, Krishna consciousness is only accepted partially, and therefore we only partially get the result. Anything else? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll see how great a question is.
Well, I was just going to kind of add to that point he was bringing up a little bit. A lot of times when devotees, they're not getting the result, one reason or another, they're trying, but maybe not hard enough, one reason or another. So sometimes, the question arises in their mind, well, if I'm not able to do it fully, and I'm not getting the result, then what's better, should I go back towards... In other words, they're half in and half out.
Well, that would be nice to be half in and half out. That's quite pretty good.
So is that what they should think then?
Well, usually we're part... our bodies are in, usually if we come to the program. Who knows where our mind is? At what percentage our mind is here? What percentage of the time our mind is here? And what percentage of our concentration our mind is here? So we have to put our body here. That's good. Practice that. And then practice, try to pay attention. That's all. It's not like you have to be an atomic physicist to figure out how to pay attention. And how to, so we have to learn how to pay attention. What's the alternative? Go back to material life when you're focusing your attention on a completely immaterial body. We're already doing that. That's why we're not getting the results. So what kind of result we're going to expect if we completely abandon Krishna consciousness? It's like you're in the ocean. You're treading water. At least you're not drowning. If someone comes, you're not getting out of the ocean. Stop treading water. So, all right, I'll stop treading water. And then you drowned. So how auspicious it is to drown. What is your advantage of drowning other than, treading water is one thing, better to get off out of the ocean. But if you're not going to do that, at least tread water. Otherwise you'll drown. Then you'll never get out of the ocean. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.